Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. By way of an announcement, I do want to let you know that by next week, one way or the other, we should be on a new and very powerful radio station, Sunny 103.5. That'll take us into Georgia and a 12-county area. So everybody sing loud in the worship services and come, be a part of it. And then I will tell you, though, it's not going to be at 11 o'clock. It'll be at 12 o'clock. So imagine the convenience. If you think I said something I couldn't possibly have said, you can listen to it again over lunch and say, that is what he said. That will be, we hope, next week. Now, I want to ask, leave this mic on. I'm going to have to move around just a little bit. I want to tell a story, and it'll help if I move just a little bit. I don't normally move around that much, but I am today. A story about a Sunday school teacher who was talking to some young people and trying to describe to them what the world is really like, and he wanted to teach them about how to live in the world and how complicated the world was. So he told these three different groups. This is group number one. He told them that, first of all, they could not talk to each other. Group number one, he poured out a whole bunch of jigsaw puzzle pieces and he gave them the picture and told them, now no talking, but you have to put this together without saying a word to each other. Here's the picture. And they worked and were a little bit frustrated, but they made some progress. And then group number two, he poured out the puzzle pieces and he gave them a picture, but he didn't tell them. It was the wrong picture, and after a while, they got real frustrated, and somebody sailed the picture across the room. They were just angry, couldn't get anything to fit. The third set of young people, he poured out the puzzle pieces, and he gave them no picture at all, nothing. And they eventually just, threw up their hands, stared off in the distance, laid down, took a nap. And the lesson he was trying to tell them is that, you really have to have a picture, a goal of how things should be if you're going to get anything done in life. And in the world today, there are puzzle pieces all over. We need focus. We need direction. And Pentecost is about focus and direction. We've already heard that Pentecost is not a made-up Christian holiday. It's not about that particular day and we just somehow called it Pentecost. It was an existing Jewish holiday, a harvest festival called Pentecost. And it was on that day when the disciples got what they were told they would get when they waited in Jerusalem. The power of the Holy Spirit came upon them and gave them direction, gave them courage to continue Jesus' ministry. Now, we say that we, the church, continue Jesus' ministry, don't we? Do you reckon we could use some of that? Direction, power, and courage. I think we could. Pentecost promises that Jesus' Holy Spirit will give us both power and guidance and a picture of how things should be and the power to get there. It is a confusing world, sort of like those puzzle pieces with no picture. It's sort of a crazy world, and people do get mixed up about what matters and what is worthy to spend your life doing. And I read a kind of a funny illustration, true, about a man in Washington, D.C. who had sort of mixed up picture of how things should be and what information he made decisions upon. Well, this man, it seems, in Washington, D.C. got arrested. He had been robbing liquor stores all over the city. And the odd thing was, and they asked him when they caught him, how come you were robbing these liquor stores in the daytime? That's just a strange M.O. for a robber. The police asked him why he did this, and he said, are you kidding? It's not safe to walk around D.C. at night with that kind of money. You see, folks take little pieces of information, but bad picture, bad goals, bad decisions, and that ends up a bad ending. It's a crazy world. It is a confusing world that our graduates go out into, that we all go out into. There was a book written in the 90s by an author, David Myers, entitled The Pursuit of Happiness. And he studied all the data that he could get from 1957 up until the mid-90s. And he said per capita income in the U.S. from that time had more than doubled. And the number of Americans who reported being very happy didn't double. It remained exactly the same. And all the advances from 57 to the mid-90s in medical science and the achievements in technology and the increase in material wealth and prosperity hadn't supplied us with the answer to what we really want, our deepest yearnings, our deepest needs, to be happy and fulfilled. Never, he wrote, have we been so self-reliant and at the same time so lonely. Never have we been so free and yet our prisons overflowing. Never, he wrote, have we had so much education spread over the population and yet the rates of teen imprisonment or incarceration, despair, and suicide have never been higher. Never have we been so sophisticated about pleasure and so likely to suffer broken or miserable marriages. It is a confusing world. We need a guide that we can depend on, and Christ working through the power of the Holy Spirit is that guide. I think the data is in. You talk to people, you read the news, interviews and studies such as the one I just cited. Money doesn't make us happy. Money is not the thing. The thing beyond just making a living, the thing that we're searching for that will give us fulfillment and a way to use our God-given talents and experiences, it's not money. Let me back up just a little bit to my title, Baptism by Fire. There are several meanings to that phrase, but the one that I'm shooting for, the one that I've seen, goes like this. It's when someone is dropped into an impossible situation with no training, no comprehension, and no idea how to handle what's going on or what to do. They call that a baptism by fire. Well, graduates, here you are. Here you are. The world is not a stable place as it once seemed to be. It used to be these were the rules and they work. You study hard, you get a degree, you get a job, you work for a good company, you buy a house on the lake, and you retire there and enjoy your grandbabies. I saw a cartoon last week and the caption was, "The future ain't what it used to be." But before I get all gloom and doom on Pentecost, I want to say to the graduates and to everybody, there's an advantage to this strange and wonderful time. This is the first time in my life where I think I can give this advice. You're free to be what you want to be. You can follow your bliss, your talents, your dreams, the direction of God's Spirit, because what was formerly a safe route that everybody did doesn't seem to be so safe anymore. You might as well do what your talents and your hearts tell you to do, because God's Spirit is calling us into all sorts of different things, and folks sometimes used to ignore those urgings and just do the safe thing. But you could be called into working with your hands or into the culinary arts or public speaking, communication, counseling, teaching, healing, you know, all sorts of things. Folks sometimes put all their calling on the back burner because they did what was safe and standard. Well, safe and standard aren't safe and standard anymore. I remember in my very first church, there was a young boy, a brilliant little 14-year-old who just knew he had a big future ahead of him. And he started telling me this. He was going to choose his career this way. He said, "Well, I know lawyers make such and such amount of money every year, so I might be a lawyer. And I know doctors make XYZ amount of money a year, so I might be a doctor. I'll be one of those." And I said, you know, to myself, those professions could not be more different. He was 14 and setting a trajectory for his entire life based purely upon how much he would make, with no consideration about whether he would help others or leave a mark on the world or whether it would even make him happy. What I'm trying to say to graduates and to all of us is that because the standard things are so iffy right now, we have the freedom, the graduates especially, to be non-standard. And some of us, careers are ending unexpectedly and new phases of our lives have to begin. We have the freedom to choose where we think God is leading us. As a preacher, especially on Pentecost, I would ask all of us to take very seriously to pray and to ask God to guide us, to lead us, to give us understanding about where we have been uniquely prepared and talented to be. Perhaps where even God needs us to be. When Bishop Williman was a chaplain at Duke University, one day he received a phone call from an irate father, tuition payer. I see all of them out there right now. The father said to Chaplain Williman, "It is all your fault." He shouted on the phone, and Williman was puzzled, and he tried to get the story behind the anger, and it seems that his daughter was doing very well, moving on toward her medical degree, but she had withdrawn from medical school and decided to take training to serve as a missionary in a third world country. And the father was blaming Williman and his Christian influence because she came to the services that he preached at every Sunday. And he was blaming her, and Williman said, "Now wait a minute, I think it must be some your fault too." And the father said, "Mine?" And Williman said, "Yes." "And didn't you take her to church?" And the father said, "Well, yes." "And didn't you take her to Sunday school?" The father said, "Yes." "Didn't you make sure that she was confirmed?" The father said, "Yes." And Williman said, "Well, then what did you think was going to happen?" The dad complained, "But we're Presbyterian." And Williman said, "God's Spirit leads where it leads. We have no control when we open ourselves up to God. Even though we bring our children to church, we often do it as kind of a nod to God. We mostly serve the real world, doing what money and security tells us to do. But right now, I have to ask, where is that? Where is money and security found? It might be time to seek the leading of the Holy Spirit, as the disciples did before they journeyed out. Success might mean more than we thought it means. Maybe we should all seek the leading of God's Holy Spirit intentionally to find fulfillment and meaning and serve God. Who you listen to matters. Faith is listening to God over a lifetime. In the good times and the bad times and the scary times and the stable times, Pentecost says, wait upon God, listen to God, and God will give you power and direction and a picture of how things should be. How you can make a difference as you put things together. The world and what the world says you should do changes daily. Faith is listening to God, being open to God's Spirit over a lifetime. This is what Jesus was talking about when he was saying to the disciples, "There are many things I have to share with you, but you can't bear them now." He talked about the Spirit being in us over a lifetime to help us understand the gospel, understand the scripture that we read. There is more to it than just the words. How many of you have had the experience, especially in disciple Bible study, where you've read the Bible more or less by rote, you've read your upper room, you put it down, but then when you really studied it in critical times in your life, you said, "I can't believe that. That was not in my Bible the last time I read this book." How many of you have had that experience? Good. That's the Spirit. You've changed. The Word stays the same, but the Spirit gives you a deeper understanding, what you need when you need it. And we do need a guide when we are approaching Scripture. Some things read literally. And in some ways we can say, okay, that's an honest reading, but if it's not true to the teachings of Jesus, then that's not what you should be getting out of it. I want to give you an example of how something can be true literally, but at the same time not true at all. It's an example outside of Scripture, but it'll give you the idea of what I'm talking about. In 1997, there was a 14-year-old student in Eagle Rock Junior High in Idaho named Nathan Zoner. And he won first prize at the Greater Idaho Falls Science Fair by showing how conditioned we have become to alarmist spreading fear through junk science. That was his premise. And in his project, he urged people to sign a petition demanding strict control or total elimination of the chemical dihydrogen monoxide. If you were at the 9 o'clock service, don't say anything. dihydrogen monoxide. All of these statements are true, and this is why he said we needed to eliminate it or restrict it. One, it can cause excessive sweating and vomiting. True. It is a major component in acid rain. It needs to be done away with. It can cause severe burns in its gaseous state. Accidental inhalation can kill you. It contributes to the erosion of our natural landscape. It decreases the effectiveness of automobile brakes. It is found in the tumors of terminal cancer patients. He asked 50 people at the science fair if they would support a ban. 43 of them said yes. 6 were undecided, and only one person knew that the chemical is water. Water. All of this is true. And what's even more sad is there is a website, dhmo.org. People are still signing the petition. Things in Scripture can be literally true, but false to Jesus' teaching at the same time. We do need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit when approaching God's Word for guidance. Pentecost is when the disciples, these wimps, became spiritual warriors. They got what they needed to cut through the confusion and the misunderstanding and get the clear picture of God, that God wanted them to do and what they were to do with their lives. And that's the second meaning of baptism by fire. The one that is implied in our United Methodist logo. If you look on the front of our hymnals, if you look in brick on the end of our building, our new Asbury Outreach Center, the logo shows a cross with a red flame. The red flame on our building and on our hymnal and on all of our publications says the Holy Spirit dwells in God's church and in God's people. May God empower and guide us today. Today, when more than ever, we need a clear picture, a direction, and the power and the courage to move in the direction that God is leading us. Amen. Amen.